It is my great pleasure to invite Chicago Children's Choir Chief Operating Officer Christina DiMaria to offer greetings on this, the 60th birthday of the choir.
Thank you. In learning music, children learn more than just a smattering of music history and theory. It sounds lofty, maybe intangible. Probably some of you recognize that those are the words of Reverend Christopher Moore. And it is his devotion to an ideal that brings us all here together in celebration. I am sure that this church has accomplished a great many things over the years, but it is hard for me to imagine a greater accomplishment than the support and devotion that you have provided to Chicago Children's Choir and the impact that that has created. The organization has grown from one choir to one that serves over 4,000 children each year in all 57 zip codes of the city. We are in 80 schools. We have 10 after-school neighborhood choirs, like the Hyde Park Choir that you see today, but also in Lincoln Park, Englewood, Austin, Beverly. I could go on. And then we have our top performing group, the Voice of Chicago. In our past 60 years, we have affected the lives of over 50,000 youth, not to mention the parents, the families, the community leaders, the teachers, the school principals, all through Christopher Moore's devotion to an ideal. And many things have changed in the past 60 years. The logo changes, the uniform changes, staff changes, board changes, the organization evolves. But here's what doesn't change and never will: our mission to inspire and change lives through music, our commitment to bringing diverse youth together, and with programs that are 42% African American, 30% Latino, and 21% Caucasian, we do just that. Our commitment to providing accessible music education to children regardless of socioeconomic background. The children we serve today, 80% of them come from low-income households. And in the schools where we serve over 3,000 children, that statistic is even higher. We remain committed to using a diversity of repertoire as a way to teach children about themselves and the world around them. International music that introduces them to new cultures, classical music that instructs them in tradition, social justice music that empowers and inspires, and popular music that validates the voice of their own generation. Children in Chicago Children's Choir, in this year alone, will have sung with Chance the Rapper, Chicago Symphony Orchestra, and Lyric Opera of Chicago, giving them tremendous perspective and variety and a diversity of the way different people work. The other thing, and perhaps the most important thing, that is never going to change is our commitment to building bridges between diverse youth of different racial backgrounds, religious backgrounds, and socioeconomic backgrounds with the structure of our programs. When we take children from Hyde Park and exchange them with children in Rogers Park, or children from our Englewood neighborhood choir and exchange them with our Lincoln Park neighborhood choir to come together, they recognize what all people have to offer. They realize that they are part of a greater community. They are not bound by their city. They transcend the parameters of their neighborhood to become part of the global citizenship of humanity. And they learn to work together with respect and tolerance and compassion. In learning about the very genesis of this organization, they learn about what their civic responsibility is, that everybody has something to contribute, devotion to an ideal. But here's the thing. It's the devotion that makes the ideal real. Going from 23 kids to over 4,000, that's real. Going from one choir that now has hundreds of choirs all across the city, that's real. Getting a call from a principal the other day, crying, who was so happy that we were going to give them the program for free because there was no way they could afford any amount of money given the cuts in CPS this year, crying, saying thank you for believing in us, that's real. The child in Austin who isn't just bound by the hardships of their community, but are built up by the applause they feel singing side by side with their peers, that is real. Your devotion and your support of this organization has had real results. And we thank you for that, and we hope that you will stand with us as we continue to go into neighborhoods and schools and change their reality and give them a greater world. Because this is not just the future, this is the now, and this is what the now should be. Eric Hubbard said, "Art is not a thing, it is a way." No one understood that more than the Reverend Christopher Moore. No one understood the power of that more than the Reverend Christopher Moore. I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again. May we all continue to walk in the way of Reverend Christopher Moore. Thank you for having us, and at this time, to show you how we all continue to walk in that way, I'd like to invite any alumni who are not already up on the stage. Thank you.
Testing.
If you have never been an official member of the Chicago Children's Choir, you're about to become one. The way forever and ever and ever that we have auditioned people to join the choir is by teaching them the round Jubilate Deo by Michael Pretorius. It's hundreds of years old, and yet who knew that Pretorius, when he wrote this beautiful round, that it would be used one day to, I won't quite say torture, but strike fear in the hearts of many children as they would have to sing it over and over and over again to audition, not just to join the choir, but to get into higher and higher levels within the choir. Many of us have memories of being 8 years old and having to try to sing the piece and remember to breathe in the right places and remember to use all the vocal instruction that we were receiving in choir in order to, like, get into the higher level. I remember when I was a member of Warblers. That was my ensemble, Warblers. And all I wanted was to get into junior choir. But oh my God, I breathed in the wrong place and I had to stay in Warblers for another year. And my best friend who had to audition by singing Jubilate Deo from under one of these chairs because she was too afraid to sing it and stand up in front of all of the conductors. She, by the way, got into junior choir. I didn't. And she sang it from under, anyway. Okay, so we are now all going to sing Jubilate Deo together. We're gonna sing it once for you, and if you don't know it, you'll learn it really fast, and then we're gonna sing it in a beautiful six-part round. That's how good you are. So the words are in Latin. It just means be jubilant unto God. Alleluia. We are not, by the way, a religious organization up here, but one of the ways that we celebrate our unity with people from all backgrounds is by singing music from everyone's background. So here are the words. Everyone just say, Jubilate Deo. Alleluia. You are now fluent. Here we go. We're going to sing it for you once first, and then you can do it with us. Can we have a C, my dear? Now you guys are going to sing it. You can sing it in your own octave if you are of the bass persuasion. Go for it. But we're all going to sing it together once. And then actually, can I get my singing alumni and children leaders to come to the front to help us with the round when it's time. So here we go, all together. Ready? And you. Now we're going to do it twice in a six-part round. Thank you. Congratulations and welcome to the Chicago Children's Choir. Christopher Moore wrote these words to say what his work was about at its core. My mentor, my teacher, had a strong sense of music as a community building, rebuilding, community celebrating operation, not just a great start to be placed on a pedestal. And this sense he exuded through his pores in teaching, in rehearsing a choir, in directing a concert. His goal was to bring the music alive, to bring you alive in recreating that music, and to take the audience by storm. I have been deeply concerned about this country and the world in which we live. My way of attempting to help change it has been working with children and youth in and through music to assist them to a deeper understanding of the whole process of building and maintaining a culture that nourishes and ministers to its people. When dozens upon dozens of youngsters across the usual generation gaps and in ever-changing groups come to take responsibility for themselves, each other, and their teams, and when that process includes the sons and daughters of classmates and others equally fortunate, side by side with street kids and those of every imaginable background and circumstance, and nothing is of importance but the persons themselves and what they are about together, then I begin to feel that there may be some substance to that American dream of the open society that we have so often preferred to mouth rather than accept to live. Those are the words of Christopher Moore, and I'll tell you, it's still hard to be a teacher today. When we hear the words of politicians on the news preaching hate, it's hard to remember how to help the young people today. But one thing that I keep trying to remember is that I can't necessarily change the older generation. I keep telling myself, just go in and teach the next generation.
Even when I hear some of my colleagues not knowing any better and going in, not at the CCC, let me tell you, but other places across the country, and teaching songs from traditions that they don't understand and that they haven't given enough time to learn about. And then they perform music, usually from African-American traditions, with not as much knowledge and time spent learning it than they would have put into music from white cultures. I remember and I say to myself, I can't necessarily change the older generation, but go in there and teach the next generation. Make change through them. When we hear people in our own community say things that don't help us to appreciate and understand each other, but perpetuate ideas of prejudice and discrimination, things about people regarding their gender or their sexual orientation, their abilities or disabilities, their race, their religion, anything, I keep telling myself it's too exhausting to try to change the older generation. You have to just go in there and teach the next generation. But then, and I'm sure Christopher Moore had so many moments like this, I go into my rehearsal and I realize that I was wrong. I don't have to teach them anything because they're the ones that teach me every day that I work with them. And part of that is because of you. It's because of this church. It's because of the home that you've always given us. It's because this choir and these kids grow up in a world surrounded by this community. I don't just mean Hyde Park, I mean the Unitarian Church. A community that has always, always affirmed every part of our identities and their identities. And so when they come to make music, they're already the people that we want to see in the future in our country. They reach a hand out to each other. They help each other. They accept each other. They fight for each other. That is the future I want to see. And so at the end of the day, it's not hard to be a teacher at all when you have students like this and when you have a home like the one that you have created for us over these past 60 years. We cannot thank you enough, and we celebrate you on our birthday with all of our hearts and our voices. I want to dedicate this next song to you, to the Unitarian Church. It's called Better Is One Day, and I think you'll understand very quickly how the words capture our emotions today.
Better is the one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. Better is the one.
I have been to church today. When the children's choir first sang here in 1956, under the direction of 27-year-old Reverend Chris Moore, it was still the junior choir of the First Unitarian Church of Chicago. They sang for the 10 a.m. youth service right up these steps before the adult service at 11. You plant a seed and never quite know how it's going to grow, what seeds it will sprout in turn out and out into the world as generations pass. That little choir 60 years ago sang the music planted in Chris at the Glee Club at Harvard, where he had been a student. Jubilate Deo, Dona Nobis were two he'd sung there often. That little choir sung the shape note hymns that he'd led when conducting the boys' club choirs in Boston, a sort of a work-study job during college. That choir started to sing a little gospel, and in the years that followed, Chris said, black audiences were always surprised to find white kids who could sing gospel so well. Chris's passion was music itself, beauty, excellence in music. He believed, and we know, that kids were capable of doing incredible work. Even in years when bodies and vocal cords are changing from one month to the next, even when his choir lost like a quarter of its membership every year as kids aged out, he believed. Now, he was no saint of a man. Alongside that vision of musical excellence, he also had what we would call today serious anger management issues, and would turn bright red. But we don't have to make a saint out of the man to appreciate what he did and to hold and own that vision. When he arrived in Chicago in 1956, it was for a one-year stay. He had an offer from Harvard to return for a PhD. He just stepped up to fill in the role when the junior choir director here at church had stepped down. That was an era in this city of great change, when the status quo of white privilege struggled to keep black lives contained. We're still in that era, friends. This church had intentionally integrated a decade before Chris arrived. We're a democratically governed church, which means that the minister at the time led with vision and values, but ultimately it was the white board and then the white congregation that had to vote to invite people of color to join. And the stories that the board meeting went late into the night, arguing back and forth with one member, holding firm to say, no, this is not who we are. And of course, it was never an explicitly racist language. Always coded. And at last, one trustee asked the holdout, look, what is the purpose of the church? And he replied, to change me. And the vote went forward. So Chris Moore's vision of multiracial unity in song was in large part the product of a seed planted here a decade earlier. By 1956, he could say simply, we saw a purpose as an integrated group in an integrated community. But if Chris had gone to a church in Winnetka in 1956, singing across race and class would not have been part of the choir's vision. Now, I say that not to self-congratulate ourselves, not to give a pat on the back, but to say, you plant a seed and you don't know where it will go. Those trustees arguing late at night thought they were discerning where the values led their church of 200 members. They did not imagine in their wildest dreams they were preparing the ground for a citywide movement of 50,000 kids. The first choir was about 24 kids. That's about 150 times smaller than it is today. They sang that first fall at the Rockefeller Chapel Thanksgiving service with other children's choirs from the neighborhoods. And Chris describes their first rehearsals in Rockefeller as 90 minutes spent exclusively trying to figure out where everyone would sit. I bet Miss Stone has you guys in better shape than that. That little seed was sprouting, it was growing, but nothing was ever guaranteed. In interviews with Chris in the 80s, he tells the story of the choir at great length, and a very substantial portion of the interviews is devoted to just how financially precarious the whole endeavor was. Even 20 years in for him, 30 years in, he still didn't know then how the seeds he'd planted were going to grow or where they would lead. He couldn't do everything. He couldn't see the end result, but that didn't stop him from doing something. He didn't let the everything he couldn't do stop him from the something that he could. Chris couldn't build a 4,000-person citywide choir. And in fact, in the 80s, he was pushed out of leadership for the choir to grow. It had to grow beyond him. He couldn't solve deep problems of racism in Chicago, but he could bring singing into schools one by one. And he could take kids of all races and bring them around the country, around the world, to sing as one people. He could take the Jubilate Deo he'd sung at Harvard and teach it in unison, and then two voices and three and six. He could take his convictions and make them real for 28 kids and then 100 and a few more and a few more. He lived his values out loud. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus tells a story to explain how people will be judged good from bad. And some of you are nodding right now, thinking, okay, the preacher has finally made it to the gospel. And some of you are thinking, I was kind of hoping to avoid the Bible in church today, which is a pretty safe bet in a Unitarian church. Honestly, we believe in the wisdom, the inspiration, the moral truth found in every religious tradition, every human art. So most Sundays, there's not a lot of gospel. But we're talking about how small acts matter, how doing what you have the power to do in the service of each other matters. So Jesus tells this analogy to explain how do you sort good people from bad. He says the criteria goes like this. I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. And then he continues that the righteous are going to answer this criteria and say, oh, hold up a sec. Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food? Or thirsty and gave you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the answer is, just as you did to the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. That's the criteria for judgment. Remember, the question is, what's required of us to be good people? And the answer is not what you believe so much as what you do. I was hungry and you gave me food. Not I was hungry and you thought it was a good idea to give me food. It's not how you hang out with, but what you do. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. Quote that to anyone who wants to build a wall. It's not how much money you have in your pocket. It's not if you are gay or straight or cis or trans. Notice Jesus does not mention any of that here. It's not what you did on the worst day of your life. It's not what happened when you hit bottom. It's what acts of service and love and mercy have you done when the moment came. It's not how much did you do. Jesus shares a parable, not a formula. He doesn't say here, give 15 or more hungry people food, and 25 times or more over your lifetime, welcome a stranger. The suggestion instead is that when the opportunity comes to make a difference right in front of you, the good-hearted person takes it. I was hungry and you gave me food. We're not called to the perfect, but the possible. That's easy to face the enormity of this broken city's need for justice and respond, I cannot do it all, so I'll do nothing. Don't let the everything you can't do keep you from the something you can. I can't fix misogyny and sexism. But men in this room, we can speak up against locker room talk, not just because women are wives and daughters, but because they are human beings. And I can't fix racism, but white folks in this room, we can speak up when someone says all lives matter and tell them all lives don't matter until black lives do matter. I can't fix the political system. Chicago may be unfixable. But citizens in this room, we can vote our values against any candidate that legitimizes racism, sexism, xenophobia, Islamophobia, and is prepared to leave behind the most vulnerable. Each time we act for good, even in the smallest ways, we're planting a seed. And you never know how it's going to grow. You never know what ripples are going to spread. We're not doing it alone. Singing together isn't just making beauty, said Chris. Music is about the whole process of building and maintaining a culture that nourishes, that ministers to its people. The sons and daughters of classmates, side by side with street kids and those of every imaginable background and circumstance, and nothing is of importance but the persons themselves and what they're about together. That, then, I feel there may be some substance to the American dream that we so often prefer to mouth rather than accept to live. When you all rehearse, you're not just rehearsing for a concert. Just like when we gather together on a Sunday service, we're rehearsing to build the world that will be. Our work is to do what we can where we are, to plant seeds we may not see grow, and to sing a new world into being. Amen.